You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where Figtails is a poor substitute for DuckTales that was canceled after 6 episodes. If you enjoy your trip into the midside here today for the Survivor Talk, please check out our flagship show. You can find it on themidside.com. You can subscribe on iTunes or pretty much anywhere where podcasts stream. This week is going to be a pretty interesting episode. I have some interesting news that we're going to talk about with my guest here in a second. The news did break on Reddit, but it's something that I've sort of been aware of since the season started, and I was waiting to see independent confirmation before I talked about it. We've hinted at it a few times on this podcast, and it also plays into the theme of the season. So I think it's important to bring it up now. Also, you know, thanks for listening, because this might be the first place you've heard about it. I know it's the first place my guest heard about it, so let me introduce him. Joining me today via Skype from the city of one of the two World Series participants, and the one I want to win, Tim Lamister. Tim, I know you're feeling pretty good right now because the Cubs just pulled the game back, so now they're 3-2, although the time people listen to this, it may or may not be over.
Well, there's an off day so tomorrow, so hopefully, you know, your guests, you know, listen to this, and the Cubs won't be eliminated by then.
Okay, well, today when they listen to it, because if anyone listens to it, it's like immediately after I put this up, I'll be impressed.
Yeah. I mean, I was sweating out that game. It was a very close 3-2 game. Chapman came in and dominated it. And so I'm in a very good mood right now. And certainly, you know, Survivor's always, besides for the Cubs, you know, Survivor's, you know, my next biggest love. So I love talking about Survivor. So that's good.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad we got our big masculine sports out of the way, because we're going to be talking about a sensitive issue here that you wouldn't typically think straight white men would talk about. But that's what we do here in the midside. We break down these boundaries and we say, no, you can talk about whatever you want. Just, you know, be respectful and be caring. And I'm front-loading that because of what I'm about to talk about. On the Survivor subreddit this week, one of the Reddit sleuths, because you know the way Reddit is, they can find anything on the internet ever, used a web archive to find a Harvard Crimson article from 2009. This was published on Friday, December 11, 2009, and it's titled The 15 Most Interesting Seniors 2010, Ezekiel O. Smith. This is, of course, referring to Zeke, who is on Survivor. This is the opening line to the article. Some Harvard students change concentrations, Ezekiel O. Smith 10 says. That's, of course, Zeke's year of graduation. I changed my concentration and my gender. And that's the big reveal here. I had been put on to the fact that he was transgender early on, before the season even started. I didn't want to say it without independent confirmation, because this was like from a friend of a friend, and I didn't want to just repeat gossip. And also, if you go on Twitter, because I was looking to see if other people had figured it out too, if you go on Twitter and you put in Zeke Trans or Survivor Zeke, Survivor Zeke Transsexual, all those sort of searches, you see people who noticed he has the mastectomy scars on his side. There are people, you can look at his body type and see that, you know, it's pretty evident. And I did notice from the beginning that there was something a little different about him. And maybe it was because I was, you know, biased, because somebody told me that he was in fact transsexual at the beginning of the season, before the season started, that I noticed that. But he did seem a little, his voice was a little bit different or something. I don't know, I couldn't put my finger on it. But the interesting thing here is, if he was a senior in 2010, that's 6 years ago, basically, December 2010, when this article was written. He was certainly transitioning at this point. typically in the media, we see people like Caitlyn Jenner who have just started the transition, or people who haven't transitioned yet. They're just coming out. But when we look at Zeke, it's very difficult to even tell he, and I'm putting an emphasis on he on purpose, it's very difficult to even tell he's transsexual because he's so far along in the process. And I use the reason I put the emphasis on he is, there's a lot of discussion of gender pronouns and what do you call a transsexual person. I've already classified Zeke in my head as a he with the way he interacts and acts and the way he was shown to me. So that's just the natural pronoun that I use. So that even brings that sort of into light and brings that up in the discussion. So Tim, now that I've monologued a little bit and made you feel really uncomfortable, I want to ask you, because I just showed you this article pre-show and was like, are you okay talking about this? How did this news strike you?
I mean, I was surprised at first. I actually read the thing you showed me, and then I'm like, wait a minute, when am I reading? And then so I had to go.
Why are you sending me random nonsense, Justin?
Well, because it says Ezekiel, so I actually didn't put it together until I reread it, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. I actually had no idea. I mean, I always thought Zeke as a guy, and I mean, I still do, of course. I was like, okay, this is interesting. I'm like, cool. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, like, it's caught me by surprise because, you know, I didn't. And, you know, I try to avoid, you know, going to too many places. Like, I don't go to Reddit. And, you know, I don't, you know, post on too many message boards or anything like that. So my Survivor news comes from, you know, Twitter, from the people I follow on Twitter, from my Facebook friends. You know, maybe Rob has a podcast or something like that. And, you know, nowhere that I've been has covered this. So it was, you know, caught me off guard a little bit. But, like, I mean, I'm not too surprised at you know, this point because, you know, Big Brother has done this and other shows have done it. Survivor hasn't, but, like, I mean, this isn't, like, you know, a first.
Well, it is a first for Survivor. And yeah. The interesting thing is about how it's being handled. The fact that they're not marketing the crap out of it. Let me ask you, how did Big Brother handle it? Did they market the crap out of it? Because I didn't know, and I don't pay attention to Big Brother.
Yeah, I mean, I watch Big Brother, and obviously on a Big Brother where you have, you know, 24-hour, you know, live feed cameras, like, and, you know, the Big Brother crowd, you know, they investigate the crap out of everything. Like you said about the Redditors, I mean, the Big Brother fans, you know, are even worse. So it was known, to, you know, to everyone beforehand, but, like, also on, like, the first day or whatever, like, Audrey just came out and just said it to the entire, you know, to all her house guests. And so once she did that, you know, obviously anyone that didn't know before it did. And so, you know, Big Brother put that on the show because, you know, it's a big deal. You know, I mean, they were the first, you know, at least, I mean, I didn't really watch too much of The Amazing Race, but as far as I know, they're, you know, like, the first, you know, CBS reality show to have a transgender person on there, so it was a big deal, and they definitely showed it a lot.
Yeah, and the Reddit thread was showed to me by somebody else. I try to avoid Reddit, especially recently. I've learned to not go anywhere near Reddit. So it was shown to me from somebody else because I had some discussions with some other, you know, super fans saying, hey, do you think this is crazy that I was told this? And I did ask people how to handle it, and they, you know, agreed with me to wait until it broke somewhere else. So that's why I was put onto this story. But the interesting thing is what you just brought up is the whole idea that CBS did that with Big Brother because Audrey, and I'm just saying the name because you say that's who it was,
yeah,
said that right away. So I'm assuming it was a man who transitioned into a woman?
That's correct.
All right. So this man who transitioned into a woman was on Big Brother and came out and said it right away. So the question is Survivor not doing that because Zeke hasn't told anyone and they're just playing along with his lead? Or is there a greater reason in the whole season that they're waiting for this?
I mean, obviously, I don't work for a, you know, Survivor's editing thing. But my guess is he probably hasn't told anyone. I think if he did, I think, you know, they would show it. I mean, that's a big deal. I think they would show it. So I'm guessing he probably hasn't let any of his, you know, cast members onto it. But I don't know.
I think you're probably right. And let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about this from a game perspective, because that's really what matters here, right? Like, that this is his life choice. This is what he did. Like, we're not here to judge and say whether he's right or wrong. If you've listened to any of the Welcome to the Midside flagship shows, we've had discussions about transgender and what it means psychologically, what it means culturally, is it a healthy thing or not? That's not what this forum is about. This forum is about Survivor. So let's talk about how it would affect strategy. Do you think it's smart for him not to tell people? Or do you think that maybe this could be a card to really gain someone's trust? That he was like, you know, oh, I really want you to trust me, therefore I'm going to tell you this secret I have. Because a lot of times we don't see this from a editing perspective, especially nowadays where everything is very game body. You know, it's all talking about numbers and alliances and everything. We don't see sort of the trust building that people do by sharing their personal lives with each other. Would this be something that could help him gain people's trust, or would it be people would be so off put by it that they would just ostracize him and vote him out?
I mean, if I was Zeke, you know, it's obviously gonna be difficult to put myself in his shoes.
Yeah,
I have no idea what is
you're both white. You are both white.
Yes, but if I was him, I wouldn't tell anyone. I think I would be afraid that it would be used against me and people would, you know, I think it would, you know, people would not be comfortable around me. They'd want to get rid of me. Or on the flip side, they'd be worried that, like, I had this great story and that if I made it to the end, I would automatically win.
Hold on to that thought.
So I wouldn't tell anyone, at least not till the final tribal council. I think that would be a great bomb show for then. But prior to that, I would definitely not tell anybody.
You have some interesting thoughts there, and we will return to them at the end of this episode when we start discussing theme and story. But let me ask you, his closest ally right now is Chris. How do you think Chris, okay, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma
football player, because they edited that big time this last episode, didn't they? Or the last two episodes that, you know, they're big Oklahoma Sooner fans and Chris played for them. How do you think Chris would react to that now that they have this bond?
I mean, the traditional, I don't want to stereotype people from Oklahoma, but I don't think they're the most progressive state in the United States. And so being from there and from being a football player, I mean, just looking at stereotypes, I don't think he would handle it well. But, you know, I mean, I don't know Chris, so it's obviously impossible for me to say how he would handle it. But
right, and that's what Survivor's about, right? So this is a sociological experiment. So it's fascinating in a way to see what will happen when we get out, we remove ourselves from the culture, right? We put ourselves on a deserted island here. And then we say, how do individuals interact with each other? And I think that's what's interesting here, is what will happen with Chris and Zeke if this comes out? And will it come out? So that's sort of a to be continued there. Let's talk about now the sort of strategy for the rest of the tribe and everyone else in this game, because Zeke's a big character, and I think he will continue to be a big character, and we'll talk about that in a minute. There are some other big characters this especially this week, and I think the big character this week was Adam, and I think he had the biggest strategic decision. And his basic strategic decision was to break up Figtails and go with Ken and Jessica, and not only break up Figtails, but vote for Figgy rather than vote for Taylor. What do you think of all of those decisions? Was it the right decision for him, especially considering he has an idol, to flip to the Gen Xers? And when he did flip, should he have voted Figgy out over Taylor, or should he have voted Taylor out over Figgy?
I'll start with the Taylor over Figgy thing. I think voting Figgy out over Taylor is a no-brainer. She has a clue what's going on in the game. Taylor absolutely has no freaking clue what he's doing. He is probably the, you know, the least intelligent person on this entire season. So
wow, fine words from Tim Lannister.
So keeping him in the game is makes sense. But at that same point, I don't know.
Do you
know
think
if,
they also kept him in, though, because he's more helpful in the challenges than she is?
I don't think so. I think he knows that Figgy's much more dangerous than Taylor. I think that's why they went for her over him.
Interesting.
But at the same time, I don't know if voting them out. I mean, obviously, they are a power couple. They're not going to, you know, ever separate, of course. So in that sense, you know, they certainly are a big threat. You know, they showed, you know, Figgy had close ties with Michelle and all the other people. So, you know, that alliance, you know, that Triforce alliance or whatever that actually has four people in it or three now.
The most non-nerdy people are the Triforce. I talked about that episode one. The most non-nerdy people call themselves the Triforce and then vote out the gamer girl. Like, it makes no sense at all.
No, it's funny, though. But, yeah, anyways, I mean, but, like, but then you look at Ken and Jessica, you know, they're obviously a pair at this point, too. And I think they have, you know, more game in them than Figgy and Taylor did. So, and you don't really know them, so, like, I kind of think I would have probably voted out Ken. He seems to be more of a threat to me than I think Figgy is. But, like, I mean, I don't, you know, really blame Adam for wanting to break up the showmance.
Yeah, no, and that's what you're saying is what's so interesting about it. Like, I agree with what you just said because it would seem like he's going to be on the bottom no matter which way he goes, right? Because you have to assume that the people you're flipping with already have a power structure set up from whatever their alliance was pre-swap or whatever, pre-merge or whatever the fuck. What are we calling the twist? Was it just a swap?
Swap, yeah.
Even though it's to three tribes and you become three from two? I don't know, whatever. Fucking yeah. Fuck terminology. Yeah,
we'll go with swap. I mean, what else are you going to call it?
I don't know. I'm not, like I said, I'm not one of the in the community. They might have a different word for it. But if you're out there in the community, you have a different word for us, scold me very harshly. And I will pass that on to the listeners. But, yeah, you have to assume pre-swap, they had their own power structure too. So either way, you're basically going to be using your idol to disrupt the power structure. Wouldn't you rather disrupt the power structure of the people you know you have a leg up on already than to go into the unknown with Ken and Jessica? Mean, you don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah. Personally, I feel like I could outplay Figgy and Taylor, so I wouldn't be too worried about them. So I would actually have stayed with them, but I mean, I can see, you know, good reasons to get rid of them as well, but that's how I would have gone.
Yeah, because the other thing we sort of are underplaying here is, and I think a lot of people do, like I said, with game bots and pure numbers, is you do have to live with these people every day, and it had to have been annoying as fuck to live with Taylor and Figgy. I mean, that scene where Figgy revealed to Jessica and Ken that they were an item, her and Taylor, and they were like, yeah, we knew.
It was funny.
I immediately messaged Mario after this episode, the creator of the Funny 115, and I said, this has to be an early candidate for the Funny 115 4.0, because this is one of the funniest episodes I've ever seen. I mean, Ken giving relationship advice at Tribal Council was hilarious.
Yeah, it was hilarious. You know, Jeff wanted to, marry them at Tribal Council. I thought that was pretty funny.
He would have done it, too, just for the ratings.
He would have. And I think she was on board for it, I'm guessing, from a TV perspective as well, you know.
No, I think she was on board for it. I mean, I know you don't
read,
like,
on board.
You read, have you seen any of this stuff? Has it been on Twitter? Because I found an Instagram post that was very interesting. Has she said anything on Twitter
about their relationship?
Yeah,
she. I did listen to her exit interview with Rob, and they are definitely not together anymore. And she like bashed him pretty good in her exit press.
Yeah, because if you go on his Instagram, he got some other chick pregnant. So I think he already had a relationship. I think that's why they're not together, which is why when she was like, let's get married. He was like, no. I think she was all in on getting married. I really do.
Yeah, I think she would have done it. I think she was more interested, you know, from a TV perspective, but I think she would have done it. I mean, it would have gotten an old 5 minutes after they got home, but she would have done it.
I don't know, man. Like, with the vitriol, like you said, she keeps bashing him and stuff. That's not like someone who was only in it for the TV. Like, that's like a lover scorned.
Maybe, or it could just be her personality. I don't know, but it was really funny. Like, if you have a chance to listen to her, or you know, listen or read her exit press, it's worth you know, checking out. It's good.
Yeah, because I read her exit interview on CBS.com, and she bashed him a little bit too. So yeah, it's just a very amusing situation, very amusing edit, very amusing strategy. Before we move on to the story, though. Was there anything that stood out to you about the other tribes and the strategy going on there?
I mean, I think what stood out is, I mean, we haven't really talked about Michelle, but, like, I think she's in the major character and she's, you know, on the other tribe. And I think her storyline is going to be one to watch for the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, because there seems to be, and I guess we're just transitioning into story now. This is more a plot mechanic part of the story than the theme. We'll get to the theme in a second. But plot mechanic, it seems to be the destruction of the Triforce, as you were saying. You know, they built that up a lot, especially with the whole Mari thing and everything. It was very obvious they were going to get blindsided and lose their power. Same thing with Paul's alliance and Brett and all of them. It seemed to sort of be obvious that would be destroyed. Now we see how that's starting to happen, where we have this combination of Gen Xers and Millennials together. Chris and Zeke, as we talked about already, are aligned. We have Adam with Ken and Jessica. And then Hannah will probably likely fold into this sort of misfit alliance, almost. And it's almost like Michelle and Jay are going to go early on in the merge. Although I will say, for Jay, he did say, I'm going to win Survivor. He had a huge confessional.
I don't think Jay and Michelle are going anywhere anytime soon. You say early merge. I think end game for them.
Interesting. So you don't think this hybrid alliance of Millennials and Gen Xers is going to work?
No, I actually think for Jay and Michelle, I think the best thing that happened to them was Figgy getting voted out.
Why is that?
Because, I mean, I think they were all looked – that huge alliance was looked at as such a huge threat. And then because you got Figgy, you know, talking about Michelle and praising Michelle, and then you had the showmans. And then, and you know the leader of that, like, showmans or whatever, you know, everyone a dangerous player, everyone thought, you know, is no longer there. So Michelle's ties to that other side are going to be lessened. So I think she's going to be viewed as less of a threat. And, I mean, Jay's probably still always going to be a threat, but, like, I think it's actually best for them that she's gone.
And that's what's so interesting about Survivor from a show perspective, is lining up the strategy and the logic of what's likely going to happen alliance-wise with the theme and with the big characters. Because two of the big characters so far have been Chris and Zeke from the beginning on both of their tribes, and now they're aligned. So it would seem like story-wise, they sort of have this destiny to go far together. But how does that work with Jay and Michelle going far as well, as you see it?
I mean, it's hard to say at this point. Like, I mean, obviously Zeke and, you know, Michelle have had their chance to bond over on their new tribe, and maybe they're getting along a lot better now, and maybe that's something they could work together with. I mean, I could see Chris wanting to work with someone like Jay, because, you know, they're both really great in the challenges. Jay seems like an easygoing guy to get along with, so, like, I could see, you know, them. And then it seems like Michaela, you know, she seems pretty pro millennial, and she was, you know, definitely happy to see Zeke and Michelle. You know, she wanted Zeke and Michelle to win that challenge, so I definitely see her, you know, signing with them. So I don't know. I mean, it could work. You know, they could pull in David. I'm not really sure what David's going to do. Like, he's all over the place. Obviously, he's going to be one of the biggest characters on the season. He is one of the biggest characters on the season.
Yes.
But it's hard to predict what he's going to do just because some of the things he kind of does is kind of out there and, you know, not something most people would normally do. So I'm not really sure what he's going to do going forward.
Right. And they sort of foreshadowed him and Zeke getting along, didn't they?
Yeah, in the next episode they have the previews for the next episode. They have, you know, they showed them becoming pretty tight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess that's where that was from. I usually don't talk about previews, and that's the interesting thing about David is he's on this tribe with Chris and Zeke and Michelle, so it would seem he would get looped into that alliance. But also, he was allied pretty closely with Ken, and then by extension, Jessica. So it's like you can make a case for all of these people working together. So it's like, where are the lines going to be? Especially when you talk about who the big characters are, right? We've already talked about Chris being a big character. Zeke, you mentioned David. Ken has been a very big character this season as well. And sort of what unifies them is the theme. And this is directly related to the fact that Zeke is transgender. The theme of this season has been transformation. And I caught on to that in the first episode, and I wasn't sure if that was intentional because I was, again, not sure if Zeke actually was transgender. But now that he is, I am 100% sure this is intentional. If you look at Zeke, from the first episode, his story was all about, oh, people don't usually see me this way, but I've become the leader of this tribe, and I'm taking on roles I never had before, and I'm a better person. David has done the same thing. I'm not usually that strong. I can't do these things, but all of a sudden he's become, you know, he seems like a survivor, almost all-star at this point. Seems like he's been around for years. It almost, the way they're editing him, feels like he is a Johnny Fairplay type character. Been around for a while, doesn't really look like physically he can do it, but has an idea what's going on. And then you even look at Ken, and his story in the beginning was, you know, even though I look this way, people don't usually see me socially. I don't really get along with people. I don't really like people. But now he's doing that, and he's getting along with people and working with people. And Ken has had that big edit from the beginning, you know, about not underestimating the millennials, as David Healy pointed out on his episode on the show. So how do all of these people have these big edits that are aligned with the theme, yet we have to divide them up somehow to get to the end?
I mean, it's certainly going to be interesting how, you know, how all these people go. I mean, they have gotten rid of a lot of the people that, you know, didn't have much of an edit. Lucy's gone. Lucy's gone.
Paul left. Mari left.
Cece, that's a name I was trying to come up with.
Right.
She hadn't read it either. So but, they did get rid of, you know, some of the irrelevant people. So, I mean,
but all of these people you've mentioned fit in with the theme. And what I mean by that is all of them were shown not changing. If you look at Mari at the beginning, her edit was very weird because she got a very positive edit. Mm-hmm. But then it was all about how I'm so used to only seeing people as numbers or, you know, opponents in a video game, I'm not used to empathizing with them. And that was ultimately, whether it was true or not, in reality, that was shown to be her downfall. It was edited that way. And that was, you know, was we thought maybe that was a millennial thing. No, that was a can't change thing. And then you look at Paul. Why did Paul get voted out? Because he could only act like the blue-collar, hardworking dad. You remember when he said, oh, I think these millennials will see me in a certain way and they'll really like me and get along. Well, his own tribe didn't even like him for being that way. He could not change and adapt. Same thing with Lucy, right? She was the tiger mom, and that was it. She spoke to Ken the wrong way, and that got her voted out.
She couldn't change. She had no edit, except for that one brief loop, yeah.
But they, when they gave her the edit, that's what they gave her for an edit, was this is the way I am, this is the only way I know how to be, and I'm going to be that way, and being that rigid was what got her voted out. And that reminds me of the other thing I was going to say. The other person they brought up early on was Cochran. And Cochran's winner's edit was a big transformation edit. It was all about, this game has changed me and made me a better person, and I finally fully realized it in this season, and that's why I'm able to win. Of course, that being concretized, as I said before, in the whole, remember when he was climbing the rocks on that reward challenge?
Yeah. See, I mean, I kind of see David more as Cochran 1.0 as opposed to Cochran 2.0, but I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't. I certainly don't think David's going to win. But
no, I don't think he's going to win.
He has that transformation edit. So then out of these people, right, we have David, we have Chris, we have Zeke, we have Ken. They all have the transformation edit. And then does Michaela have the transformation edit, or does she have the I'm just one way and that's the way I'm going to be edit?
I don't think you see any transformation from her. I see she kind of is getting the, like, the, you know, like the, I mean, not Ozzy, I was, but, like, you know, one of those just the typical challenge beasts, like, they're amazing at everything, and the, you know, Joey amazing at it, I guess. She's kind of got that going on, so, I don't think she's going to win. I think she'll probably be, you know, maybe mid-merge or something like that.
Yeah, I think they're building her up to come back at a future date. She seems like the kind of character that, you know, I mean, first of all, she's a black female, which is great for casting to bring her back. Mm-hmm. She's a different black female. I mean, that was the nice thing about her and Cece. They broke the stereotypes of their you know, quote-unquote demographic or character early on. She's hilarious. She's a quote machine.
Yeah.
I mean, part of this episode being funny was when she looked at them and said, you guys are all millennials. If you can't figure out how to work together, you deserve to be voted out. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, she's great TV. I love her.
Yeah. So I think she's getting a big edit because she's just a great character. And I think that likely she will be brought back in another season because she fills such a unique niche in the show. So I would throw her edit out as a possible winner. So I think that leaves us with four based upon the theme now. I think we can whittle it down to four. I think, as I just said, David, Chris, Zeke, and Ken.
See, I mean, I want to throw out Zeke for the same reason you want to throw out Michaela.
Okay, go ahead. Make your case.
I think these two people are, Zeke and Michaela are coming back. Whether it's next season or whether it's in the future, these two people are coming back to the game. I think that's why they're getting the edit that they're getting right now is because they're going to come back at some point.
Okay, well, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you just told me something I didn't know 100%, so.
I thought that was kind of common knowledge.
No, but it was my suspicion. It was my suspicion, but I didn't know 100%, but now I do. But it's okay. I'm not upset.
Spoiler alert.
It's fine, it's fine. Spoiler alert, there's walkers in the barn and Lori's pregnant. No, it's okay. So, I mean, that explains that. I mean, but I don't know. I'm still like, with Zeke, I have a prediction of what I think is going to happen with him. So let me just throw my prediction out here and see what you think of this. You already hinted at this, right? And there's two ways this could go. One way it could go is Zeke is the tie of this season, where the whole thing's edited around him, even though he isn't the winner. Ty basically got the winner's edit last season, even though he didn't win. That it was just a poorly, it was a poorly edited season. It was all.
See, I thought Michelle got the winner's edit from like episode 4 or 5,
she wasn't involved with the theme at all or anything. She was not present. I mean, they did give her quotes every episode to sort of remind us she was there, which should have been the first clue. But
I think her quotes, the quotes that they gave her to me, that gave it away that she was gonna win.
Okay, but they weren't thematic quotes is the thing. That's what I'm saying.
I don't really look at, I mean, the way I do it, I don't really pay too much. You pay a lot more attention to the theme than I do. I just kind of like, I just pay attention. And I'm like, oh, this sounds like this is going to be really important. And I'm going to, you know, watch where this goes. And I'm usually able to, you know, get a good read on who's going to win, you know, probably about halfway through.
Right. So, and that's, I agree with everything you just said, and I think that's a great way to look at it. And my basic point is just that I think the seasons are better when the theme and the plot are integrated in that way. And I just think last season it wasn't as integrated. because they had Ty, which was the thematic center, and Michelle, which was the plot center. You see what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
I mean, they wanted to focus on other people because I think they definitely, obviously, you know, Jeff Probst really liked Ty, and lots of people really liked Ty, and I think, you know, they wanted to focus on him, they wanted to focus on some of their, you know, there are other bigger characters, and you know, Michelle's a great person, but like she is maybe not the most interesting person on TV. So they wanted to, they focused the story more around the other people, even though she won.
Right, and again, just like Michaela and Zeke, Ty is such a great character that fills such a niche, right?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
He's sort of like a different type of Yao Man. Basically.
Yeah, there's really no one like Ty, which was great.
Right. So then my question is, looking at it from your perspective, of the four I've listed, do you like the four I've listed? Do you disagree with the four I've listed? Or would you add someone like Jay in? And before you answer, let me just tell you my prediction. I think Zeke's going all the way to Final Tribal, and I think he's going to announce at Final Tribal very emotionally his journey about transitioning and how they don't realize that Survivor meant so much more to him, and he's going to actually reveal that he's transgender there. I don't think he's going to do it necessarily in a direct way to get votes, but I do think it will be, you know, people always want to say, what's your story, right? That's what we learned from Denise's season. That was the theme of that season, is having the best story. And that sort of sat with us since, Philippines. And I think that will be how he does it. That will be his story, because that is his story. It's been there from the beginning. It's just implicit. And I think he will make it explicit at the Final Tribal. And I think that's why the show hasn't announced it yet and marketed it, because it's so much more impactful as a twist in the final episode. It will be one of the craziest, most memorable final episodes ever if that happens.
That would be a crazy tribal council, and it would be very memorable if that happens. I mean, obviously, if you're saving that for the end, I think you're definitely doing it for for the votes. Like Jeremy, when he told all of them about, you know, his kid or whatever, well, obviously not quite as, you know, the same thing as Zeke. He did that for the votes. So, I mean, if Zeke were to do that, he's got that in mind for that particular reason. But
and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing. I would 100% do that.
Yes.
If I was at the Final Tribal Council. I mean, any way to win $1 million, you got to take it. But the reason I ruled off Zeke and Michaela at the start is just from a perspective. I'm like, all right, I know these two people are coming back, and I just didn't think they would take the winner back. So I could be blinded by my perspective that I don't think they're going to bring back the winner this season. So that's kind of why I ruled out both Zeke and Michaela. Also, I don't think Michaela's edit, you know, lends to a winner.
No, I don't think it does either. We already discussed that. So of the four, so, I said, so we've already ruled out Zeke. What do you think of Chris, David, and Ken? And also, I come back to Jay's quote. And also, Stephanie Katz made a big argument for Adam when she was on as well. So let's throw those two into the discussion as well, because Jay had the quote this week.
Jay, I think, is a contender. I think Michelle is a contender. Adam, I don't think is a contender. I think he's getting this really lovable edit. And this is just totally random guessing on my part. I'm just, once again, looking ahead. We're, like, always talking about Adam's mom and, like, how she has got stage 4 cancer. And so, I mean, that's very bad. Like, I could see Adam, you know, them building up that storyline and then Adam eventually quitting because his mom gets really sick.
Like Jenna in All Stars.
Yeah, like Jenna. I have no, you know, knowledge of this. Like, it probably won't happen. It's just my theory on that or whatever.
At the very least, it seems like based on what you're saying, he'll make it to the family challenge.
Oh, I mean, that could be a thing. Like, oh, that would be storyline if he made it to the family challenge. His mom was there. I mean,
I'm going to be a dick right now. His mom's not there because she died. How fucked up would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she'd be healthy enough to go out there.
Right.
But I think, yeah.
Where's grandma? She died, dude. Where's mom? She died, dude. Dude, well, he's lying. I saw Johnny Fairplay do this. He's not fucking lying. My mom died, dude.
Yeah, that would be brutal. But I think if she was on her deathbed, I think he would just leave the game. I don't think she would actually die while he was out there. But
yeah, and we saw Terry do that as well recently. So that's not unprecedented, and they could definitely be setting that up, which would help explain a lot of this where things are going to break type deal. All right. So we're keeping Jay alive. What about Chris, David, and Ken? You haven't talked about any of them yet. Apparently, you don't like the Gen Xers.
I do not like the Gen Xers at all. I find them very boring, just from TV's.
You fucking millennial.
I'm actually a Gen Xer too, so I can say that these people are boring. I mean, I think David's fantastic, but the rest of these people, I'm just kind of put to sleep by. I'm over there. I really don't see the hype with Ken. I mean, yeah, he's a different type of male model than you normally get, and I applaud them for, going with a different type of character, but I just don't see anything there, personally. Maybe it's because I'm a guy, and maybe his fan base is women. I don't know.
No, I like Ken. I don't. That's why I don't know.
I thought I would hate Ken, and I don't hate Ken. But I mean, I thought he would be Jay Byers, and he's not Jay Byers. But still doesn't really do much for me.
No, I really like him, and that's part of why I can't really read his edit, because he's my favorite player this season, and possibly one of my favorites ever, because I like the complexity of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely different. I mean, obviously, people's biases going to come in. I mean, maybe I'm looking more into Michelle's edit because I actually like her as a person, which I was surprised by because the overly religious people usually annoy me, and so I almost never root for them. But like, she's been gung-ho about the game from the start, and you don't see that from her character type. That character type at all, really. They're the type that, they'll get into an alliance or maybe, and then, they'll go a decent wage just by not, doing anything, really. But she's the complete opposite, and so I did like that.
Yeah. So we're throwing Michelle and Jay into the mix, and you're ruling out Chris and David then?
Yeah, I just don't see David winning. And Chris, I'm not going to rule out Chris. I think he has a shot. He wouldn't be in my top tier.
So then what it sounds like actually is maybe Zeke is the one who names the theme at Final Tribal as a juror in the way that Eric Cardona did in Samoa.
That could happen.
That may be more likely as to what happens. And maybe it's between Michelle, Jay, and Michaela or something like that. Or Michelle, Jay, and maybe Adam gets that far. Who knows?
Maybe they dragged Taylor. I mean, I don't think they'll drag Taylor along because he's got no edit.
I think Taylor's gone next.
I think he gets voted out pretty soon. Yeah. But, I mean, sometimes that third person gets ignored throughout the entire season. So, I mean, I guess that's a possibility too. But
yeah,
probably not.
So this season could still go a lot of ways. It'll be interesting to see what ways it goes eventually.
Yeah.
All right. I think you brought an interesting perspective here. We got to be uncomfortable together as straight white males talking about a transgender person. So thank you for coming on and sharing my awkwardness with me on this issue. But we address the issues here in the Midside. No one else will. You will not hear this discussed on Rob Has a Podcast, and you very well have maybe have heard this here first, that Zeke on Survivor is transgender, and it hasn't been brought up on the show yet, and we don't know if it will. So, Tim, I just want to thank you one more time for coming on. I appreciate you coming on.
No problem.
Anything you want to plug, any projects you've been working on, any?
No, I mean, I'm not really, other than watching baseball, I haven't done anything. I used to do my own podcast, as some people might know, but probably not. But I haven't done it this year. I just found it too hard. I just found it too hard to find guests. And when I did find guests, some of them weren't the most committed, and they bailed on the commitments or you just didn't show up, period. So I stopped doing my podcast. So I So I really got nothing to plug.
Except go Cubs, apparently.
Yeah, go Cubs. You got win two more games, please.
This concludes your journey into the midside. I'm Justin Emblesneski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day.
All right, go Cubs.